You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let the chaos commence. The transfer portal is open. The KSR Football Podcast, presented by Justice Dental, is here to discuss it all. A little light today, just Adam Luckett and I. Drew is somewhere in the Midwest on the KSR road trip. Freddie Maggard's a little busy. And Adam Luckett is actually on the scene scouting out Kentucky's bowl destination. Mr. Luckett, got to commend you. You knew everybody was saying Duke's Mayo, and you're like, I'm going to Jacksonville, and I'm going to make this happen. So Mark Stoops has nobody to thank but for you for making this happen.
May or may not have got on the horn with the Gator Bowl people here in town. What a weekend, Nick. I mean, just an incredible weekend of college football. Everything that, like, there was a lot that had to bounce Kentucky's way in this, and I think a lot of it did. Not even getting into the committee shenanigans. So, an awesome for Kentucky, and, like, an awesome opportunity, man. You get to play Clemson in a bowl game. A ranked Clemson team. Like, that's exciting stuff compared to what we've kind of seen in the past or what we thought it could be. I don't love that Kentucky every year in the bowl game they're playing a top 10 defense. Let's stop that trend. But a fun matchup, and I think it's going to be a fun crowd. I think Clemson will bring a lot of people down here, not super far from their neck of the woods. And then I think Kentucky, I think people are going to be excited to come see Clemson. Game's had a good time. It's on a Friday at noon on the 29th, which is not hard for people to get off work, I don't think. You play on the 27th, like Charlotte would have been. That's tough because a lot of people go back to work the 26th, 27th. Don't want to, you know, take off. You know, you get Christmas off. A lot of people go back to work that quickly. They don't want to take off that soon. But you get a long weekend in Florida potentially. I think that's going to be attractive to a lot of people, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. Gator Bowl is a good bowl. It's not the greatest bowl. I think you can attest to that. We've been here a couple times, but it's a good bowl game.
Yeah,
in the state of Florida,
it's a name game, right? Like, people know the Gator Bowl. Playing Duke in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which was a projection for a while there, that just doesn't do anything for anybody. You'd be in a no-win situation where you're expected to beat a team without its coach, without its quarterback. It would be billed as a basketball game on the gridiron, right? Like, instead, you get the brand name, and you alluded to it. Like, how many times has Kentucky played a team where you – what does a win do to move the needle? If you do win, you're expected to, right? This is one of those where they're kind of playing with house money, and Mark Stoops said it today in his Gator Bowl press conference that guys want to play against Clemson, right? Like, even the guys who have declared for the draft, he's expecting Drew Phillips to play in it. Jatan McClain's in the portal. He's expecting Jatan to play in the game. So he's even going to kick the tires on Ray Davis. So he's expecting near 100% turnout for the roster, which is great. You're not going to see backup quarterbacks in the game, right? So should be a lot of fun. I'm with you in that it does kind of stink that you've got another top 20 defense, which is why I went ahead and logged a under bet last night at 47.5. While I could, number's probably going to go down. So I'm expecting a bit of a slobber knocker. But we can talk more about that game. You're going to be at Everbank Stadium tonight to watch the Jags and the Bengals, little Who Day action. And, you can actually get in on Prize Picks too and get in with some of that action. The best way to play some daily fantasy sports. Monday Night Football happening tonight. You got some exciting NBA action right around the corner. Prize Picks, it's a great way to get in on daily fantasy sports. All you got to do is pick a few squares, go more or less, string together a couple wins, and you can win big with Prize Picks when you download that app and put in promo code KSR. They're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. So give Prize Picks a try. I'm going to take less on the Jake Browning yards passing bucket. No offense. But
do not blame me.
So go ahead, get in on the Prize Picks action tonight for Monday Night Football. I'm expecting a full scouting report of Everbank Stadium, a full lay of the land. Hopefully you can have some fun and crush some beers tonight. We need some beer pricing.
I don't know how much lay of the land I get, but I will be able to tell people how much a beer is. So okay. Have no fear on that. We might walk by, check out the pool, see what's going on in the pool right there.
How's the weather right now?
That's about it. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful down here. It's 75, 76 with a little bit of wind. I think it's going to drop down low 60s for the game.
Oh, that's perfect.
But yeah, nice hoodie weather for the football game tonight. I'm pretty excited about it, especially when you kind of compare it to what else is going on. I know back home it's not the prettiest right now. You would think it's March down here, March or April. Down here, that's how beautiful it is right now, and hopefully we'll get some weather like that here in a few weeks when everyone else comes down.
I'm also hopeful to maybe parlay the Gator Bowl into an extra night or two because the Jags are playing the Panthers on Sunday, so you can get a little twofer for Kentucky fans, a little Luke Fortner, Josh Allen action the same weekend. So we'll see how all that goes, but we'll talk more about the Gator Bowl as it draws near. Mark Stoops, when he was asked about it, he's like, I mean, Clemson's good. They got a good defense. You know who they are. Like, I thought it was telling that he said, you know, they're built like an SEC team, which is true. This won't be your classic ACC.
Shot at the ACC.
Yeah, this isn't just like go in and just shove the ACC team into a locker like the Cats have done so many times over the last 8 years. We'll get into that later. Today, we're going to spend most of this show discussing the transfer portal moves. And so far, Luckett, I believe we're up to 10. In the portal, Deuce Hogan had a tweet that said he was going in, and then he deleted it, so I don't really know what the case is. But so far, there hasn't been any shocking moves. If there was going to be one, Shamar Porter was the highest-ranked player in Kentucky's 2023 recruiting class, 6'3" receiver from Innsworth High School in Nashville. He was the only top 300 prospect in that class last year, recruited by Scott Woodward, who was terminated last week. He decided to throw his hat into the ring. Look, and he was a guy who you had a lot of hopes for, but you weren't sure if he could play right away because of the other young talent that's in that wide receiver room, right? Like, I mean, he's backing up Dane Key. And then we found out halfway through the season that the reason why he wasn't involved, he got injured during camp, and that's where he would have gotten a lot of those reps to get into the rotation. So without being able to get a lot of traction there, he's decided to take his talents elsewhere.
Yeah, Nick, to me, it's very similar to Kobe Albert last year. Guy who recruited Kobe Albert here is no longer on the staff. Guy who recruited Shamar Porter is no longer on the staff. Kobe Albert, Jalen Geiger, and all those guys come back. There's not really a path for playing time, obvious. Shamar Porter, we're going to get into it here in a minute. They're recruiting a guy to come in that plays his position. Two of them, Donovan McCulley and Raymond Cottrell, are both ex-receivers that they're recruiting. And so I think that's just where we are here. And when you've got players like this, Nick, highly recruited guys, if they don't play as a true freshman, they're going to be looking to leave. They want to play. And so that's just kind of where they're at here. It hurts from a depth standpoint, obviously. But for Kentucky, you've got to do what you got to do. And you need guys that can play next year. I mean, this is very much a one-year-and-go situation now in college football. You know, you're always building for the future, but you're more the now matters more than it ever did because you can't stack your rooms anymore like you used to be able to because these players are going to leave. So I think it's an unfortunate situation, but I just think you're going to have situations like this, and so that's just where we're at. And that is right, Shaka. I am rocking the stubble. I'm on vacation. I'm not shaving. Damn right.
Yeah. I completely hear you. I'm glad you read between the lines there because I think that's important for fans to know. Obviously, you don't want to lose the highest ranked player in your class, but I don't think this is just you and I talking. There's a reason to believe Kentucky's in a good spot with Donovan McCulley, the Indiana transfer that led the Hoosiers in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. So no reason to sound the alarm quite yet, but that's certainly a position of need. We'll get into targets a little bit more, but we do have some breaking news. Shout out to John Piron for notifying us, because since we got live, Martez Thrower now has entered his name into the transfer portal. Georgia three-star linebacker, who he was one of those, like, you hoped he could add some weight to his frame.
Just never hit.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Didn't hit. Stoops said he felt good about the depth on the defense for the most part, but they'll get a couple guys. Inside linebacker certainly feels like one, especially if Trevin Wallace, you know, he's going to go through the underclassmen evaluation process, which takes a little bit longer. So you might be dealing with an extra one come next spring. I personally think he'll probably, you know, I think he'll hear stuff that will tell him he needs to come back for another year. But inside linebacker feels like another position where they need to add some depth to your thrower gun.
De'Eric Jackson, Nick, I think is one to watch too for a draft decision. Like, he's going to consider it. So that's one to watch. I also think Grant Godfrey is a guy they could slide back inside. Yeah, he's a guy who redshirted this year.
See that happen, yeah.
So I think that could definitely happen. Just on a numbers standpoint, Nick, I'm including Deuce Hogan in this. We'll have to see. But I've got him down to 82 scholarships now, and that's counting all the freshmen, the 23 in the class. So they have some wiggle room here. They need some more, but they needed this attrition. And so I think Thrower was a candidate we all thought could move on, and I think it makes sense for him to go ahead and move on, go find somewhere he can play next year. And linebacker room, I have him at 7 scholarship players, and then it could be 8 with Godfrey. So I think they're in decent spot there if you get Wallace, Jackson, and Davram Rainer back. Mm-hmm. But all those guys could be there last year in 2024. So depth is a concern. So you're looking at Javent Brown. Can he really take a big step in year two? He played special teams role this year. Then you're looking at Grant Godfrey, potentially Antoine Smith, Devin Smith, Elijah Groves. Can you find a guy right there that can play as a true freshman? I think it's really important. Numbers-wise, I think they're okay there. And I think you heard Mark Stoops kind of touch on that. Offense is the big need. And we talked about why it is a big need in the portal.
Yeah.
I mean, it all goes back to high school recruiting. They've had a bunch of misses. Where defense is recruited well, I think, in the high school ranks. Finding guys, getting them in their system, developing them, and getting high school recruits into quality starters for them in their organization. That's something the offense has to get better at. And they're looking to fix those problems in the portal. It's just like in the NFL. If you miss it in the draft, this is where you fix your draft misses.
Free agency.
Is it free agency? Yeah. So this is where, this is for Kentucky, this is where you miss your high school recruiting misses. For fix them is in the portal.
And quickly, just to kind of go through some of the other departures who, I don't know if we've talked about it yet or not, because everything's happening so fast. But Tekel Crowdis, wide receiver in the portal. Isaiah Cummings, tight end in the portal, where, you know, you kind of anticipated, right, with the way that Kentucky's been recruiting at tight end. And as Stoops alluded to it, too, in particular with Ja'Tai McClain, who he's going to play in the bowl game. And as Stoops said, he's like, you know, he's a guy that he wants to play more. And in a lot of these cases, it's mutual. And that first year of the portal, a lot of those players stuck around, played in the bowl game, contributed. Last year, Stoops changes course, and he's like, listen, why am I doing this? If we're on good terms, why can't – and they want to stick around and play, then let them stick around and play. So outside of that, you had two big decisions with the Cox cousins, Eli and Marcus coming back, continuity intact there on the offensive line. That's critical. That is incredibly critical. But positions of need. We're not going to dilly-dally around with a lot of the players leaving because – I mean, let's face it, we expected, even though Deuce Hogan's tweet was deleted, Deuce Hogan, Destin Wade, hell, if Kai Sharon enters, like we expect a lot of those quarterbacks to depart. I don't think Destin Wade's departure is indicative of Keaton Wade leaving. Haven't heard that. There's reason to maybe speculate that. Somebody on the chat said they've heard they don't believe that will be the case. But as far as guys – they're targeting. That's what people want to know, right? Running back. That's been a ghost town so far. Jeff asked if we've heard about any running backs they're potentially targeting. There's been nothing out there just yet, but that's one where they just kind of need to go out and get somebody like it because you're going to lose three guys. Demi Sumakarmbe is going to be your leading guy returning, and he spent half the year at receiver. So you're left kind of rolling the dice with three freshmen, and that's a dangerous game to play.
That is one to watch, and I have been very underwhelmed, Nick, by some of the guys' tailback going into the portal. There hasn't been the caliber you would want if you're in Kentucky's situation at tailback.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So that's one to watch because they do need help at tailback. But so far, the market is not great there. And that's an important position that I want a box they're going to have to check. They're going to find their quarterback. Wide receiver is, we'll get into this. There's so much depth at wide receiver.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to find two guys that can come in and help them this year. It shouldn't be hard. There is good depth at wide receiver, but tailback is concerning, at least right now to me. And that's one to keep a close eye on because you're right. You're just depending on freshmen in that room. Mm-hmm. It's Demi Sumo-Kongbae and a bunch of freshmen as of right now.
Yeah, there was a North Carolina kid and an LSU kid who had decent recruiting rankings, were hurt for the year, have a little bit of production, but nothing that really wows you. So that's going to be something to follow along. We haven't gotten a lot of that today on the opening day of the portal. The big one, though, that everybody wants to talk about, that everybody's been asking us about since October is, who's the quarterback going to be in the transfer portal? Travis asked us on the chat. Hop in the chat. Like this. It does us a favor. It helps us if you like the YouTube chat. If you subscribe, we greatly appreciate it. There were some big names getting kicked around last week. Brock Vandegrift is now trending. Pete Nakos report that Kentucky's emerged as a target for Brock Vandegrift. And it's funny. A year ago, we're having these conversations and we're talking about guys who fit the kind of similar Will Levis profile where they had the Power Five backup pedigree, right? And they both hopped in the portal today. McCord up at Ohio State, who spent the whole year starting, went 11-1, threw for 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's from Connecticut, I believe, or at least in that Northeast area. And so I think there was some sort of connection to Liam Cohen. And then Brock Vandegrift was the other one linked to Cohen the last go around. He decides to, they both decide to go through spring practice, duke it out. Kentucky's got Devin Leary. McCord wins that job. And then Vandegrift does not. He loses it to Carson Beck, but ultimately decides to stay, be the backup for a year. Then today announces he's entering his name into the transfer portal. And in Vandegrift's case, that kind of tells you that Carson Beck's going to be back for his second season in Athens. And mm-hmm. Vandegrift has a lot to like, whereas McCord, he went 11-1 as a starter. There's going to be a lot of people that discount his play because of the talent around him and the scheme at Ohio State. Vandegrift, there's a lot more unknown, but I think what folks really like about him is he is a great athlete. We saw him just briefly down in Athens. Duke can move. Mobility is not an issue with Vandegrift. He's got a lot of tools that I'm sure Liam Cohen would like to get his hands on.
Yeah, Nick, just right here, I want to read a scouting report. Charles Power, who's the head of scouting for On3, back when he was working for 24/7, this was his scouting report he wrote on Vandegrift, which was written after his going into his senior year. Possesses prototypical stature and frame for the position. Has continued to fill out and already has muscle mass, particularly in his upper body. Productive against small school competition, both through the air and as a runner. Shows the ability to make throws from multiple platforms. Can stand in the pocket and drive the ball down the middle of the field, while also making touch throws and hitting passes on the run. Primarily projects as a pocket passer at the next level, but shows nice athleticism in making plays with his legs, rushing for over 1,000 yards as a sophomore. Has a nice framework as a passer, but can continue improving his mechanics, improving his ball location, and overall operating efficiency. Projects as one of the more talented signal callers in the 2021 cycle, with the upside of developing into a Power 5 starter with eventual NFL draft pick. This guy, Nick, was a top 100 recruit by everyone, every cycle. On3's consensus had him in the top 25, was a 5-star mm-hmm. recruit. This is a modern QB prospect. Can stand in the pocket, make an assortment of throws, but can do things on the run with his legs. He has a throw he hit against Kentucky where he rolls to the right and hits a dime to the tight end. So there are tools here. And he's going to be a redshirt junior with 2 years eligibility remaining.
That checks a perfect box if you got Cutter Bowley.
He's a class of 2021 recruit. So he doesn't have the COVID year. So this is his fourth year. It'll still be his fourth year in college. And so you got a 2-year runway here with him, Nick. And I think you look at some of the transfers that have really hit. Most of them have been former top 100 recruits that were at schools for 2 years. Now, Vandergriff doesn't have the playing experience that Oregon got with Bo Nix, that LSU got with Jaden Daniels. But it's not like he was sitting behind some bums. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's call a spade here. He was playing behind two NFL quarterbacks there in Georgia.
Yeah.
That competition, now I think it was some shenanigans probably on Kirby Smart's part. They all knew Carson Beck was going to be the quarterback, but that wasn't announced till right before, like middle fall or fall camp.
And our guys too down at Dogs HQ. I mean, there was a lot of moments.
I think we may have lost Nick here. Looks like my man is frozen there at KS Bar, so I'll just go solo here. Any questions in the chat? We'll do a little Q&A right quick until we can get Nick back.
Am I back?
There you are. There you are.
The internet here just goes briefly in and out. That's what it does here. It's almost like it resets once an hour. But the guys down there following the program closely saw stuff from Vandergriff where they thought he had a legit shot to beat Beck out. It wasn't just fodder. And we've seen what Beck did this year. He was incredibly impressive. So you've got to be optimistic. And I think the other thing, too, that you got to consider, Luckett, is a lot of times if you're following this stuff closely, right, all the reporters who are, watch this school, watch that school. Will Howard, that was a name that went in last week. He's going to be one of the higher-ranked prospects in the portal, who I like a lot, too, that we discussed last week is kind of a Will Levis light. You know, it's five or six in there. So it's – I know Will Rogers, he's turning towards Washington now, and then DJ used them in two schools. It's like, oh, okay, boom. You release guy. Kentucky is one of the few that's in the mix for this guy that's highly sought after, because it does fascinate me how there are so many guys, but it's not like there's 130 teams going after the one guy, right? Like it is pretty selective, and you've got to be on it quickly. Because they're in there and gone in an instant.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Nick. If you're looking for, like, all SEC players and your strategy is to find our star players in the portal, you're going to be up you-know-what's creek without a paddle. Like, that is not a sustainable way to go about your business. But you can find good replacement-level starters. I mean, look at Marcus Cox. I think that's a perfect example, mm-hmm. right? He went out and found a guy who's going to be a middle-of-the-road starting left tackle, but it's worth a lot if you can find that, if you don't have to worry about that. Quarterback is a little different because guys are on the move, but I think Cox was like an easier evaluation. It's like, oh, this guy can play. Like, we can see he can play. Mm-hmm. Where Vandergriff, it's a little more projecting.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, like, you look at, I'm going to use Bo Nix as an example a lot here. People thought that dude stunk at Auburn.
Yeah, they really
People
did.
Thought Graham Mertz stunk at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they just need a new change of scenery. Like, to me, it all comes back with these quarterbacks. They were ranked that high out of high school for a reason. Now, we can get into whether the rankings are good or not, yada, yada, yada. But they were ranked high for a reason. And a bunch of schools wanted them out of high school for a reason. And sometimes it just doesn't work where they go. But sometimes getting a new change of scenery can be a launching point for some of these players.
DJU, and I think that's this year. I mean,
I think that's the bet here with Vandergriff. He went to Georgia. He's a Georgia kid. I'm pretty sure Bogard is in Athens' backyard. So he went there and it didn't work. You know, he got beat out by Carson Beck, essentially. He went there thinking he could go start, and Carson Beck beat him out for the job, and now he's looking to move, and Kentucky wanted a two-year. I think they really wanted a two-year guy because of the Cutter Bowley factor, like you just mentioned. And you didn't want to get in a situation, really, Nick, where you went Levis, Leary, Portal, and then you would have had to Portal again next year. Because you can't just – Cutter Bowley is a very good prospect, but this is not like Trevor Lawrence, right? This is not a slam dunk that he's going to be good quickly. He's going to need some time to develop.
Arch is going to take 2 years, right? There's a lot of scuttlebutt that Ewers is going to be back for another year, and Malik Murphy will be on the move. Already heard Malik Murphy do Ohio State stuff. And Cutter, he was on the show that Jack does, Sunday mornings on WLAP. He's like, I got no problem with redshirting. You know, he made it abundantly clear that he knows that this is part of the plan. So if this does end up checking, you know, Vandergrift checks a lot of boxes, but we're not going ahead. Just because he's in the portal doesn't mean we're giving him the UK jersey and it's signed, sealed, and delivered. This process does have to play out. It is a little bit faster than normal. This weekend, Kentucky's hosting visitors. There's no indication he's going to be there, but he could. They've already got two guys from Indiana locked in, which I guess we should go ahead and mention now. Donovan McCauley, excuse me, the 6'5" receiver who had 644 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns. He's got an NFL draft written all over him. And then the offensive tackle. It probably won't pay out production wise, but I think that offensive tackle could be just as important because of where you're at right now with that position, where there's some guys in there that you think could turn into something, but you're not sure. And I know right now, I mean, you've got Marcus Cox back. You've got Cortland Ford, who didn't play a lot last year. You're hopeful that he can be a really good player, but you can bring in another guy who has 12 starts in the Big Ten with 3 years of eligibility remaining. And you alluded to it on KS Board. That would be huge for the succession plan once Marcus Cox time's up.
Yeah, Carter Smith is who you're talking about here, Nick. Was a 3-star recruit out of Powell. Olentangy Liberty High School.
Yeah, I know they're in Ohio. High school coach. Yeah,
shout out. Yeah, right, the greater Columbus area. Ole Miss and Virginia Tech are showing interest. Virginia Tech, I believe, issued an offer. Kentucky, Steve Wolfong reported that he's going to probably visit at the same time as Donovan McCauley. And I just think, Nick, this getting him would be a really significant deal because that gives you 3 competent tackles next year that you can play in games, right? And then all 3 of those guys can play left. Cortland Ford played left at USC. Carter Smith played left in the Big Ten. And he was good last year for Indiana. And yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the ACC to SEC translation with some of Kentucky's transfers.
Correct.
Big Ten's different.
Yeah.
Like Carter Smith went up against NFL dudes every week in that conference. Mm-hmm. Donovan McCauley is going up against NFL dudes every week in that conference. So I think you would feel better about the transition of those two players heading if Kentucky were to land them. I think Smith gives you – one, it gives you – Cortland. It's not just going to hand the job to Cortland Ford or right tackle. That's going to be a real competition.
Which is important. Then, I mean, we saw what it did for Jeremy Fox. We saw his growth having that competition there.
And then – it gives you the answers on the interior that you have. You're going to have Eli Cox, Jagger Burton, Dylan Ray, and then I think you're going to have Tanner Bowles and Ben Crispin as guys. If you had to play, you would feel somewhat good about. And then we'll see where Kobe Keenum is in his second year in the program. And we'll see if Paul Arias, I think, is another transfer candidate. But if he hangs around, maybe he thinks he has a chance to carve out a rotation role. So all of a sudden, I think, again, I don't think Kentucky's going to have one of the best offensive lines in the SEC next year. But I think they've drastically raised their floor here in the last couple of years. And they've got options in case injuries happen. I think the best thing for the offensive line this year was not everything went to plan. Like, they had to deal with some injuries and some unexpected unavailability for a Kenneth Horsey or Jagger Burton had a random game he had to miss.
Yeah, he was out for a week.
And then they had to make a position switch change. And even with all of that, they weren't – I'm not going to say they were good a lot of the times, but they didn't hurt you offensively like they did the year before. Like, there was real progress made on that side of, on that, for that line. And I think Carter Smith would help. Again, they've missed a lot of tackle. That would be a plug and play guy that, you know, help fix that miss. And I think they're doing a good job there at that position, at least in the last two cycles, of finding guys that can transfer and come in and help.
We, we've kind of, it's almost been just like one, word vomit. Like, we're just almost like, it's just, here's our minds. We're just going to let it all out. So like it, I want to take this opportunity to let the folks of the Big Blue Nation see the spreadsheet, because if you all don't know, Luckett is a spreadsheet guy. And so I kind of want to go through some prospects with you, get some thoughts out there, some potential targets. Pete, you think we can, oh man, that's going to look beautiful.
This is only the beginning. This thing is only going to grow. And if you all could, I've got a recruiting spreadsheet for like almost back to the Joker Phillips era.
Yeah. It has tabs for each page. It's a great resource. It really is. But I like this one with just portal players where, you know, I mean, if we want to, we can go ahead and start from the top. Where do you want to start, Luckett? It's your spreadsheet.
Yeah, I think Donovan McCulley, we kind of touched on it, Nick. I think this guy really makes sense for Kentucky. Big, physical, ex-possession receiver who wins competitive catches. You go and look at his profile. A lot of his catches are contested catches, according to PFF's charting data, and you watch him against Illinois is a game I pulled and watched. He's making tough physical catches on the sideline, and he has super high upside. Like, he's only scratching the surface. This was a four-star quarterback out of Indianapolis.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
In the class of 2021. He made the transition switch middle of the year, or the position switch middle of the year in 2022, and then this year he really started to take off a little bit. And so I think, like, that's a guy who, like, he's going to be on the Senior Bowl watch list, Nick. Like,
yeah.
Jim Nagy's going to be talking about him over the summer, and that's a guy I think you could a gem potentially that you could find. Florida State and Michigan have been linked to him. I think Kentucky's got a really good chance to lock him down. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's not the only. Kentucky's going to get two receivers from the portal, and there are two guys here that I think are pretty similar. Who both are going to have a lot of interest from a lot of schools. There's going to be a lot of competition for both Vanderbilt's London Humphreys and Jamori Macklin from North Texas. You all probably remember Humphreys well as the Nashville kid who made big splashes early on in the year before Vanderbilt really sputtered. From his hometown, played for Vandy. I know Georgia's been linked to him. But Macklin's an interesting case too, because he followed his cousin's footsteps at Mizzou, Jeremy Macklin. Actually, like, the only picture on USA Today we have on file is of him at Kroger Field. But he didn't play a lot. He got injured in his second season. Went to North Texas, blew up this year with 1,000 yards. Had more explosive plays of 30 yards or more than anybody in the American Conference. And I want to say it, he's like top five nationally as well. They're both very similar. And both are going to draw a ton of interest from pretty much everybody in the Power Five.
Yeah, Macklin is interesting to me, Nick, because you look at him and you just think, oh, he's a slot receiver. But when I kind of dug into him, he's really not. He's a vertical field stretching receiver who you want to run goes in post in deep over routes and try to create explosive plays.
He's what they wanted Zekel Crowdis to be.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly right. To play Z and to go and hit go balls. And so with him, he blew up, Nick, in the portal. So that was that on the surface is might make it harder to get him because of that. But that's to me, like, early, it seems like what they're looking for is they want another big bodied receiver.
Which is It's so funny because they got away from that, right?
To me, it's like, when we're in trouble, I want to be able to throw a stick route to someone and get a completion, right? You know, I want to be able to, on third and eight, to throw a back shoulder to a big receiver who I know can make the catch and fight through tough press coverage. And I think that's what they're looking for here. I think Will Shepard's another name. That he's not on this sheet right now, because I think they're all in on McCulley. And if McCulley is a take, I don't think they'll move on Shepard. But Shepard's another one. He's going to end up at potentially another SEC school. Vandy, I think Humphreys fits the Macklin mold, Nick. They are vertical receiver, vertical Z receivers who can get open deep. And I think, but it also tells me they have a lot of confidence, I think, in Brown Stevens to step in and be the guy in that slot role.
So that's
where I think they're at right now. I'll be interested to see who the second receiver is. Do they want to get, like, Raymond Cottrell's been a guy that's been reported they're interested in.
Texas A&M transfer.
But he's another kind of bigger receiver. And so are they looking for more size? It certainly seems like that, but it also, to me, it seems like they are looking for a guy who can get open deep so they can hit some home runs with. Because Berriam was really their only true deep threat that they had on the team. I think they showed that, or they told us that, by how much they kept going to him.
Yeah.
I think if there was another guy they felt comfortable with to get open deep, they probably would have used them in some of those spots. But that never occurred. So I think they are looking for that, another guy that could get open deep and make explosive plays.
I just want to say how much this all amuses me. Because while watching the Pac-12 title and Dylan Johnson is just steamrolling dudes, I was thinking, man, Mississippi State fans have to just be kicking themselves this year. And it's unfortunate how it came to be with the untimely passing of Mike Leach. But they really had things teed up going into this year. Woody Marks, Dylan Johnson, Ra-Ra Thomas, Xavier Thomas. Like, they had all these dudes who are just balling out elsewhere. And you're going to see the same thing happen with Vanderbilt next year, right? Like, they had some really good skill talent.
Some good players, yeah.
And they were banking on A.J. Swan being good. And I don't know who Clark Lee had calling plays over there, but what a disaster that is right now. I mean, it is the Will Smith showing up to the empty house gif right now for Clark Lee at that Vanderbilt football facility. Three quarterbacks are in the portal. Swan, Seals, and another guy I never heard of. All of their receivers, Shepard, Humphreys, and I'm missing somebody. I think one or two.
Jaden McGowan, who I think can play too, slot receiver. Yeah. I mean, he's a good kick returner too.
Those guys are just going to be supplementing rosters across the SEC next year. So if you, for the two Vanderbilt football fans that are out there, you had a moment. You had your one opportunity with some really talented guys to get things going, and now Clark Lee is just. That's imploding. That's imploding.
Yeah, and that's fresh on the heels of Ray Davis going to Kentucky and setting the single-season touchdowns record.
Real tough. Real tough.
You know, when Davis, I think he's probably going to be a second-team All-SEC guy when the vote comes out. I think Schrader's going to be first-team, and then it'll probably be a close second vote. So, I mean, he might end up being first-team All-SEC. So, even the path is there. Look, this guy went from went to Vandy to Kentucky and had this monster year. Let's take a close look at these guys. So, yeah, I think it's very disappointing there for them. And that's a good year to have Vanderbilt on the schedule. Kentucky gets them at home. Go ahead.
Breaking news. Keaton Wade is following Destin Wade into the transfer portal. Who knew we'd go live and all of a sudden sorry, Tyler. Sorry, Jack. Sorry, Zach. Y'all got your hands full right now while we talk about it all. But hey, it's good for the YouTube numbers. Subscribe. But Keaton Wade is going to follow his brother Destin Wade into the portal. I know his mother was sending some tweets early on in the year that made people believe that, you know, that might be the case. But it's unfortunate. He's a four-star player out of that class. He'd be playing a prominent role. Next year for the Cats. He didn't take the jump that I anticipated this year, Luckett. I expected a little bit more from him. It's unfortunate because you saw a lot of flash from him freshman year, but that just – the juice just wasn't there for Wade in his second season.
Yeah, I think he had a fine first year as a player, like in a full-time role, but I don't think it was – maybe the star potential that they wanted. And you got to remember, like, when they recruited those two guys, Nick, they were huge recruiting wins at the time for Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so I don't think it ended up playing out like they wanted it to. I'll be very interested to see what happens with them.
Yeah.
They probably want to stick together, but is Destin going to have to go play quarterback at Middle Tennessee? right? Or at school like that.
Correct.
And is Keaton going to want to do that? I don't know. So that's interesting. But I will say, you kind of look at Edge here, Nick. I'm kind of getting the vibe that J.J. Weaver might return next year.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't have any insight on that, but it just, I think it makes a lot of sense for him to return next year. Like, you didn't have the year you wanted. You could get some potential, some NIL coin. And you could try to run it back to have that year, so then go to the draft. Now, I could be wrong, but I think it makes some sense for him to return. Now, we'll have to see. He hasn't, but he hasn't said he's going into the draft yet, right?
Correct.
And so that makes me think he's thinking long and hard about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. But just general at Edge, they've got guys. Tyrese Fearbury, you know, and then what you got coming in?
You need a big leap from him next year.
What you have coming in? Jacob Smith is playing next year. Brian Robinson is probably going to have some type of role, but I could see Jacob Smith having a, like, at least a rotational role.
It reminds me of the Josh Pascal. I forgot what they used to call that package, but they put him in at defensive end on third down, and he just raised hell as a true freshman. I'd see something like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, frog in my throat. A lot going on right now. I did want to briefly mention that it's the holiday season. You don't know what to do for gifts, especially when you get to our age like it. I mean, what do you get a 30-year-old some? It's tough. So here's my little secret. Especially if you're just dating, just get tickets somewhere. Go to the Game Time app. Look up your favorite, your significant other's favorite concert. Maybe they're big sports fans too. Download the Game Time app. Put in promo code KSR. You get $20 off your first purchase with the Game Time app. It's real simple to use. They have tickets to all of your favorite events out there, whether it is comedy shows, concerts, games, whatever it may be. Game Time will hook you up. It's very easy. Two clicks and your Christmas shopping is done. Seriously, I can't stress this enough. Get the one you love in your life tickets to an event that you can go to as well. All right, it's a win-win situation with our friends at Game Time. Download the Game Time app, promo code KSR, $20 off your first purchase. I mean, and if my wife gives me the gift I want, I'm going to be using the Game Time app to go watch Jags Panthers. So Game Time app, promo code KSR for $20 off your first purchase. Nick says on the chat that Matt Jones, he did the sunglass emoji on the Brock Vandegrift tweet. So before we go all the way in on Brock Vandegrift, let's do a little pass or play on quarterback transfers, because there's a lot of them out there, Luckett. I want to hear your thoughts on some of them, all right? We've said some nice things about Vandegrift, so here's some other ones. Will Howard, Kansas State transfer, pass or play? Not pass isn't a good thing. You're going to pass. Like, it's Family Feud. You're passing it to the other team.
Play. I like Will Howard. Lincoln Riley flying to see him just confirms that I'm right here.
That was a wild move, man.
I think this guy is a good player. I think he's smart, tough, can run, doesn't have the greatest arm, but can make the throws you need. And Nick, I've talked about it. Like, you cannot kill this guy. Kansas State tried every year, and he kept coming back, and he was better each year. So I like this kid right here. I think he's going to go somewhere and be a good player next year. So I'm definitely turn the jukebox on. We're playing the Will Howard song.
Another quarterback that there was some Kentucky whispers for a little bit, MJ Morris, NC State quarterback, pass or play?
To me, the opposite of Will Howard. This guy quit on his team. It was full stop. Like, that's a pass for me. He's the opposite of Howard. Like, adversity hit, he said later. You know, the team's having a good season. They're like, NC State scratched and clawed to get wins last year. And he just said, yeah, see y'all, after he played bad against Miami. Like, that's pass for me.
And he was 3-1 up until that point, too. Won three straight games, losing against Miami. Another quarterback in the portal, the biggest name so far out there that all the coaches are bemoaning, oh, it costs $1 million, $2 million to get a good quarterback. Cam Ward, Washington State, pass or play?
This scheme dependent here with Cam Ward. He's only played in an air raid offense, strictly air raid. So are you sure he's going to succeed in a new scheme? Like, that jump to Incarnate Ward to Washington State at first was really tough. Like, he was not good last year. So to me, it's very scheme dependent. You better have things he can easily do and translatable, and you better be able to adjust to his skill set. So if for Kentucky, he would be a pass for me, just from what I've seen there. But if he's somewhere else in a different, more spread world, I would press play on him. But I am very leery, Nick, of these quarterbacks that are going to their third school. Like,
which what brings what us to another need? One.
what do you need there? Like, if you need a quarterback to come in and be the leader, the main guy, your offense, I don't know if that's what you want to sign up for. Would be my two cents. If I'm in the staff meeting room, that's what I would be talking about. Like, are we sure we can? This got to be a face of our program if he's on his third school.
It's a great question. That brings us to DJ Uiagalelei, who struggled in the Clemson scheme, which, as we get closer to the bowl game, we'll tell you that might have been a Clemson problem. Cade Klubnik, 6.2 yards per attempt, lowest in the ACC, and it's by quite a bit. But it's been pretty solid for Oregon State this year. They're going to the Pac-2, so he's going to his third school. Is this another one that's scheme dependent for you?
If I was advising DJU here, one, you got to get the money, right? But you should really think long and hard if Jonathan Smith will have you going with him.
Follow that guy.
I think that type of system and offense fits you really well, where it's hard play action, deep dropbacks, where they can take advantage of some of your arm talent, but they're not asking you to live in a spread world and make some of the shorter accuracy-driven throws. Accuracy is still a big issue. He was at 57-58% completion percentage this year, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a problem for him.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to be with a really good offensive coach who can put him in areas where he's very comfortable and he can succeed. I think he did some good things at Oregon State. But, like, Florida State's the one you see right now.
Correct.
I don't know how good of a fit that would be next year for him. I really don't.
We'll wait and see all of this action unfolding. One final quarterback I wanted your opinion on, because I was shocked that it didn't work out. It maybe was a personality thing, but it felt like when Chip Kelly got Dante Moore, that offense was going to get rocking and rolling. But the five-star quarterback played off and on this year. UCLA had a very bizarre season, and there was even talks of Chip Kelly getting canned, which I don't think ever happened. There's a lot of talk about that, but I never saw it actually follow through. He's in the transfer portal. Pass or play, Adam Luckett, Dante Moore.
Oh, hey, turn the music up, because we're playing this right here. He fits, Nick, what I've talked about with Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels and all of that. Just really talented guy. Played as a true freshman, which is hard to do. Mm-hmm. Get him in your system and developing, you're going to have him as a two-year starter. That guy was my favorite quarterback coming out of that class last year. I think he's going to be really good wherever he ends up. I think Oregon is a big one you hear. I think Florida State is also mixed up. That, if I was one of those schools who had a real shot at him, I even think Miami, maybe Michigan State, if I had a real shot at him, I would be going all in to get him, because I think he's going to be a first-round pick, and I think he can be kind of a Heisman-level guy for you, and that can change your organization. So I'm very high on Dante Moore.
There's a lot of chaos happening in the world of the transfer portal. One thing will not be chaotic is when you schedule your next appointment with Justice Dental. Very easy. Just go to justicedental.com. You can also call or text them to schedule up your appointment. Very convenient. They got locations on either side of town on Wellington Way, near the mall, and also on Blazer Parkway, which I might have gotten those mixed up. It's crazy right now. It won't be crazy when you visit Justice Dental, your one-stop shop for all your dental needs. Doc Thompson and Dr. Justice, they'll take care of you. Great people, folks who will make sure that your smile is a little bit brighter this holiday season. Ding! That's where you're supposed to put the ting in there, P. I don't think we have that graphic loaded, but just ting. Justice Dental, proud presenting sponsors of the KSR Football Podcast. I'm trying to wrap my head around all of this looking. It's been a wild ride, and we're only halfway through day one of the transfer portal. I know there was the one thing that is kind of nice is with all of this happening right now, the amount of times that I had people asking me if Berrion Brown was going to the portal, or the amount of threads that we have up on KS Board about Berrion Brown, where you got to like, all right, let's just merge them all into one place and you all can all bicker about Berrion or whatever. It always felt like a lot of, posturing and just assuming. And we haven't had any news yet. And I even think that the news we've heard indicates that Berrion is in fact staying, and that the moves that have been made so far this offseason kind of indicate that, like, they're still behind Brown and he still kind of believes with what they're doing. Now, I may end up sounding like an idiot here in a couple days, but I don't think that's the case. I just think folks assume, I mean, where else is he going to go to get as many targets as he got this year, right? Like, well, I don't know what he would be unhappy about other than the production dipped, and they can probably put a lot of blame on Scott Woodward for that, who they've moved on from.
I think the Shamar Porter news kind of tells you a lot with that. Like, to me, I feel like they're getting both of those guys back. As of right now, everything can change, and you got to have the money situation has to be right, but I feel like they're going to be able to get Berrion. Now, I do think people have to realize if that guy enters the portal, he is going to have value. It's one of the best kick returners in the country, guy with legit track speed, who people are going to will be willing to bet on that. Number one, they're like, he's going to give us a touchdown or two in the return game, and then we should be able to scheme him open. And so I think there's going to be value if he were to enter the free market. I think people need to understand that. But I think keeping him here, I've always got the sense that Berrion really likes it here. Now, I know that that's not the end-all be-all, and yeah, his NIL situation could be the reason he really likes it here, but I get the sense that he really likes it here. And so if it was going to happen, it would happen right now, and it hasn't happened yet, but bowl prep will start pretty soon. Like, yeah, they're going to start bowl practices here fairly soon. And if the players that are here for bowl practices will be here through the game, and then they can decide to enter the portal after. That I think they have like a week or so to get in there once that's over. But I think the signs are showing, like, Shamar Porter's leaving because, to me, there's not going to be an avenue for playing time. Why isn't there an avenue for playing time? Because they're bringing in at least one transfer, and they've got guys coming back. You know, Dane Key, Berrion Brown, Anthony Brown Stevens, that are all ahead of him. And so, you know, we're assuming that, but it seems like, especially the tone I think Stoops gave off today,
yeah,
seems like they think they're in a good spot. And yeah, when he says, like, what did he say, Nick, that the meetings with the players were surprisingly, I don't know if successful.
Positive or encouraging was the word he used. Yeah,
I think that's what a lot of that gets to. I think they feel like they're going to keep their roster intact. And I think it's significant. You know, Berrion's got a big way to go. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But he's still a weapon. Let's look at the Louisville game.
Yeah,
two explosive completions. I mean, that kick return to flip the game.
And in turn, I mean, you know, that could be the game that changed the season, right? You go out, you upset Clemson. I mean, you can have people really buying what Kentucky's selling once again this offseason. So if you're curious, if you're joining us late, once we wrap, you can go back and listen. We've discussed pretty much all of the portal, big portal moves and shakes so far. This is going to be one of our watch episodes ever. We really appreciate it. The plan is to go live Wednesday evening for another edition of 11 Personnel. There's a lot happening right now. We do need to get back to like the actual work of it all. But I do want to end by saying I greatly appreciate that some of the questions Mark Stoops took in today's press conference, where he's just like, I don't know. I'm on the road, man. I got a lot going on. He joked that he's like, some of my friends will be in town. They'll be like, hey, Mark, come out with us. He's like, dude, no. This is nonstop 24/7 right now. We're plugged in constantly. That's tenfold what they're doing. I also appreciated, too, that when they talked about, you know, the Gator Bowl announcement, he was at a in-home visit at Texas Roadhouse, which I appreciate in-home visits, just moving to restaurants. Some idiot Louisville fan, you mean he couldn't afford Malone's or whatever? It's like, no, he's on the road. Like, they just go where the family wants to go. And who doesn't want to go to Texas Roadhouse, right? I mean, I don't know about you, Lucky, but that's some of the – that's some fine dining right there.
Yeah, I just immediately thought of Mark Stoops being – why is he in Oklahoma? What recruit is he seeing? Because if you're going to a Texas Roadhouse in the state, that's the one you have to go to.
Well, sources tell KSR, this is breaking news, he was with Quasheed Scott eating Texas Roadhouse. So, and that's
in the Palmetto State. They have a Texas Roadhouses in the Palmetto State. Who would have thunk it?
I wanted to know, too, his order there. I really wish he would have said, just rolls. Just go there and smash a couple baskets of rolls and I'm good.
Yeah. That's what we should have asked him. How over, under, 2.5 rolls.
Oh, over. And then I'm getting a basket to go.
Yeah.
And on a semi-serious note, too, the press conference opened with Stoops and a doctor from the Kentucky Children's Hospital. They raised $1.1 million this year with their event that they host before the season. $650,000 were raised at that one event alone, and then $500,000 was put in on top of that. That shouldn't be overlooked. And to Stoops' point, it's like, you know, you don't really realize how important it is until you need them, sort of deal. Once you have a kid sick, it doesn't matter. Like that, nothing else matters except for that, and they do a great job there at KCH. And that's something, like it, that you just have no idea until you know somebody who's been through that. And like when we're in high school, you never think about people going through pregnancy issues until like that's all that, like half the people we know kind of go through stuff like that. And you don't realize just how much that can affect one's life. Same thing with this at the KCH. So, shout out to Stoops and them for doing great work and for really putting those kids in the middle of it. Because, you know, that's the catwalk every Saturday, right? One of those kids is getting some time in the spotlight. And you know, we're kind of numb to some of that stuff, but you know that means the world to them.
Absolutely.
So, very cool and hopefully an uplifting way to end this edition. Transfer portal chaos on the KSR Football Podcast presented by our friends at Justice Dental. What happened today? A lot more is going to happen. We're going to have you locked on at KS Board on the KSR Football Transfer Portal Tractor. We're going to be sharing some more updates. Got to get up here, fire some more up there for this afternoon's blog. And we got a new daily Kentucky football notebook, too. First Down Kentucky. So, what happening at Kentucky Sports Radio? Look it. Smash some beers tonight. You got the Bengals to cover?
It's up to 10, man.
It's a lot of points.
Steep line. I think Bengals' money line is almost up to 5-1. Just sprinkle some for me at home.
Need to check that Josh Allen sack prop. So have a good time in Jacksonville. Bring us a scouting report to 11 personnel on Wednesday. Until then, thank you so much for joining us here on the KSR Football Podcast. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.